This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You
from the highest throne to the earth below, you lay down your life for the likes of us. Great is the love of the Savior. From a wounded heart to a life made whole, every human heart will declare as one. Great is the love of the Savior.
Cause you see across the earth, the beauty of your holy word. So I kneel before you, God. I lift my hands cause you set me free. So I shout out your name from the rooftops. I proclaim into your loving hands, and I am yours. I am yours. Spend a moment and let's just really ask God to give us the freedom to say that with we stand with our arms wide open. I think if we would ask who has been hurt in this church or in any church, I think most people can lift up their hands. And I think that after a time when we come into worship and we sing songs like this and words like this, we struggle to keep our arms wide open like a child, where we just don't mind and we don't even know that there's a possibility of maybe being vulnerable. And I really believe that God is saying that He wants us to come with our arms wide open, that we trust Him, and that we sing wholeheartedly His songs. So Father, we just trust for that, Lord. We just pray for that, Father God, that we can come to You innocent and childlike, Father God. And we can say that our arms are wide open, Lord. Like Marco said, even if we're in a place right now where we're questioning it and we feel, what's the point? And maybe we even have been hurt recently. God is just saying, come with your arms wide open. I want to show you. So let's just sing those words. Here I am, I stand with arms wide open to the one, the Son.
The everlasting God. We thank you for the cross.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. We've come to join our song, sung long before our life, to raise our voice alone, heaven and earth alone. We've seen your faithfulness. See without end, the King who bled and died, the God who sacrificed, and be enthroned upon the praises of a thousand generations. You are worthy, Lord. To you, the slain and risen King, we lift our voice with heaven, singing worthy, Lord of all. All through this life we live, and all through eternity. Yeah.
God is showing me a picture of us standing before the throne room, and many of us have got white clothes on, but many of us don't. And as we sing 1,000 generations, you know, you only have time on earth to choose for God. There's no other time. And thousands of generations that's passed and has missed it. They will not enter in heaven. And I just feel God, Jesus died for us. He did everything for us. And He so much yearned for every person on earth to come to Him and to choose Him. And yeah, please don't miss out.
Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can come to you as our Father. Father, we're living now in a generation where we can make a difference in the people we meet each and every day. Or we maybe only meet on an occasion, but we can make a difference. And Father, I pray, Lord, that this afternoon that you're going to speak to us again, that you're going to remind us again, Father, that you want to work through us. You want to work with us. You want to equip us, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we know that the enemy always wants to distract us and always wants to pull our mind away, but we bind him in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, that we can focus and that we can receive what you want to share with us this afternoon, Father. That we can make a difference where you've placed us, in the generation where you've placed us. In the name of Jesus, amen. This was a little bit of a different week. It was a hot week where temperatures is concerned, and certain records were reached where temperature is concerned. But it wasn't only that. It was also that yesterday we also could do something which was also a thing which is different is what normally is done. We're going to talk about it a little bit later. But this week was special. It was special for me. At a certain time on Thursday evening when we wanted to go and evangelize, me and Urbanus were talking to each other. And then we, half in a joke, we said to each other, it's actually now very easy to start a conversation and talk about hell. And you say, okay, it's quite warm. And in hell, it's maybe even warmer. So turn or burn. But we decided, no, we're not going to do it that way. But it was warm. Today, the things what I'm going to say are most probably for the majority of you, nothing new. But it's so basic. If we do not do it, we miss it. And that's what I'm asking. Please focus. And if I'm going to talk a little bit harder, then maybe I see a few pairs of eyes which are closing, and I'm just trying to get you back again into the conversation. But it's actually very basic. And it starts with, we are made by God. Man is made in the image of God and is the supreme object of his creation. If we do not believe that, and if we do not accept that, we miss the whole boat. Because then we're not recognizing God, we're not recognizing him as creator, and we're not recognizing that we are part of his creation, and that we are the supreme object of his creation. And that's very important. If we do not understand it, if we do not grasp it, if we make it not our own, and if we do not live it out, we're missing the boat. We're missing what God actually wants to do. Genesis 1. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God created in those 6 days the things where he wants to be involved with. It's not something that God finished creation and then he went to his lounge and now he's waiting for the final day of Jesus to come back. No, he's continuously involved. He's over here. He's looking everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere, all over the world. And that's something which for some people is difficult to understand as well. We find it on a Thursday evening with evangelizing that the people cannot grasp it. They say, but God cannot be everywhere. And we say, God is everywhere. We serve such an awesome God who is everywhere. He can be everywhere at the same time. And he can know your thoughts in your mind of each and every one, of all the 7 billion all over the world. Man is made in the image of God and is the supreme object of his creation. And every person is unique. Uniquely created, worthy of respect and God's love. We are unique. None of us is exactly the same. I've got different fingerprints as what Renee has got. Our height is a little bit different. Our irises are a little bit different. And then we can carry on and carry on and carry on. Showing again, God made us unique. We are not number that and that like your ID number with respect made in China or made in India. No, we are made by God, and we are unique. Just turn to your neighbor and say, you are unique. It's good if your wife or your girlfriend says it for you, you're unique. Just want to stop at Matthew 22. And there's a teacher, and he's talking to Jesus. And he's saying to Jesus, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The Jewish people had 613 laws. Of which 365, quickly picking it up, where was it, or negative ones. So of the 613, 365 were negative ones, which leaves us with 248 affirmative ones. And what is Jesus now doing? That teacher is asking him, and he's wiping all those 613 laws, he's wiping it off. And he says, what's the most important thing? Because they were so involved with those laws, what they've made to themselves. Again, they missed the boat. They didn't know where it was actually going about. And Jesus said, there's only two. Love your God and love your neighbor. And the neighbor is the one with whom you're making contact, is the one which is around us. And that's the one what we've got to love. I battled in my earlier years, I battled with that, to put all the people exactly the same, with that principle of neighbor, because I was very selective. Only the people which I thought were good or coming close to my level, I will accept them. But if it was coming to the beggar who was standing on the corner of the street and asking for some money, I felt myself superior to him. I felt I was better than him. And if it was having our own business as well, when I was the boss and you had somebody working for you, then you would sometimes even, I would look down on him. I wouldn't see them as God's creation. I would see them as inferior because I thought I was superior. Still, I started having a relationship with God, and then I found out, but wait a moment, all of them are important for God because Jesus died for all of them. It's not that once you've certain got a certain qualification, then you're maybe going to have an opportunity to get saved. No, it's for each and every one available. We've got to love the neighbor as would we love ourselves. Man is made by the image of God and the supreme object of his creation, and every person is unique, created, worthy of respect of God's love. And God loves every person. Jesus died for all. It's not that certain people are excluded. It is available for each and every one. And what Renee just now shared as well with the generations, it's not only the people which were all in our area, but there are certain areas in the world as well who are not being reached by the gospel, which is actually a pity because they do not hear the gospel. What God is going to do with them, we're not sure about it, but we've got to bring the gospel. We cannot say, okay, we've got a gospel over here and I'm saved and I'm waiting now for Jesus' second coming. No, we've got to tell the people because God loves every person. God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have an everlasting life. And we've been created for that fellowship with God. This is what God wants us to do, that we should have a fellowship with him, that we should have that child-father relationship with him. That's how we started the creation. Adam and Eve unfortunately sinned, and then that relationship was broken. But then through Jesus, it can come back again. That relation can be restored again. Man is made in the image of God. Every person is uniquely created. God loves every person. If we add those three together, we all are important for God. Turn again to your neighbor and say, you are important for God. Say now, I am important for God. It's awesome that we can say that. We are important for God. And if we understand it, then it makes it also so much more precious that we can have that relationship with that living God who wants to have a relationship with us. We are also the temple for the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Part of the Trinity, we can be the place for it to stay. We can be the temple for it. And it's awesome. It's awesome that part of that Trinity can be in us. It can be working through us. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? The Holy Spirit can stay in us and can work through us. And God wants to use us. It's not a matter of that when we save that God is putting a sticker on it, saved, 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 and then he leaves us. No. Then he wants to, that he wants to work through us, and he wants to use us. Again, a businessman, if I had, for instance, a clothing shop, and I had no somebody working for me who was continuously involved, was continuously focused just on the strength of the coffee, but not on selling any of the clothes which were hanging in the shop, then you must probably also come to a stage that you say to the person, but wait a moment, I think you off focus. Yes, good coffee. It's fine. Ask Marco. Nothing wrong with it. But if you're so focused on a thing which is not doing what actually the purpose of the shop is, again, you're missing the boat. You're missing the point. And God also wants to use us. unfortunately, a lot of people think that they want to use God, but they are not there to be used by God. And God is saying to us today, we've got to be still, we've got to be quiet, we've got to stop worrying about the things which are happening. And we also have got to stop making our own plans, because we've got so many plans, me included. Many plans, no shortage of it. But each and every time, I've got to stop again and say, Lord, what do you want? Because that's where it is about. That's why I'm on this earth. I'm here for your purpose. Ephesians 2 verses 10 explains it a little bit, and I took it out of the Amplified, so it has got a few additional words explaining it a little bit better. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do the good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. God has got a plan for us. But we've got to go to God and find out what is his plan for us. What he wants us to do? And in order for God to use us, he's giving us authority, he's giving us tools, he's giving us things what we can use, and it's coming through the Holy Spirit. I even thought about it, of taking some tools along, and maybe Renee has seen it, that I was walking in the house and getting some tools, but later on I've put them away again. But I thought, okay, I'm going to take a spanner and a screwdriver along, and I'm going to take a whisk and I think another spoon. I'm going to take it out of the kitchen so that you can immediately see the differences. We are different. God is giving us different tools. And it's not that we've got to be a copy of somebody else. We are unique. We've heard it before. And God wants to use us in a specific way. We're not going to copy-paste a Benny Hinn or a Todd White or anything like that. You're unique. You've got access to certain people where other people haven't got access to. And God wants to work through us, through the Holy Spirit. We did, a little bit more than a week ago, we did Foundation 3. And in Foundation 3, we spoke a lot about identity, that we are a son and a daughter of the living God. And if you know what your identity is, then it's so much easier to go through life. It's happening many times that me and Renee are walking in the street or in the bus or in the train, and then we see people doing weird things. And I've got to be careful with the words what I'm using now over here. They're doing weird things. I nearly want to say to draw attention, to get identity. And then we look at each other, we get a smile on our face, and we say, okay, that person is looking for identity. You actually would like to speak to that person and say, but you don't have to create your own identity. God has given you an identity. And if you know what your identity is, it's so much easier to go through life. At Encounter 3, we also spoke about the double blessing. What God wants to give us is children of his. That we also could send some of them back again so that they could be strong men, that they could take up a certain position and a certain authority as well in the houses, and that they can use it with authority. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to work through us. And if we get those tools, the tools are going to empower us. But there's also a danger to it. That it sometimes it also can hinder us. That we are so focused on those tools that we're not using the tools. That you continuously watching video clips and doing everything, let's say, healing. You're watching all the things which you can find about Todd White, and you're doing it and watching it, and you're spending time on it, and at the final end you've more or less seen everything about the healing. But you're doing nothing. Then it's much better to come over here on a Sunday and say, I would like to pray for somebody else to get healed. I don't know how I've got to do it or what I've got to do it, but the Lord is putting it on my heart. Then you are effective. Then you can be used by God's kingdom. Because Jesus is our example, and he showed us two things. First of all, he showed us the power. We've seen it with the healings. We've seen it with sending out the demons. But he also showed us humility. He went on his knees and he washed the feet of the disciples. And that's what we also have got to keep in mind. It's not always that you're going to stand over here with a microphone in your hand. It's also sometimes that you've got to wash the toilets or put the chairs ready or whatever the case may be. But it doesn't matter. It's for God's kingdom. I would like to read now Luke 11 from 9 till 13. Jesus just now taught the Our Father to his disciples, and then he carries on. So I say to you, and that's now the disciples around him, so it's not 120,000 people sitting, it's just his disciples around him. I'll say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find it, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. For everyone who asks, the way it's written over here, it's not that we only ask once, but it means we are continuously busy with it. We're continuously busy with asking, we're continuously busy with seeking, and we're continuously busy with, what was the last one, with knocking. We do them. The asking God is recognizing to God that we need something. We go to ask God and we ask for something. And when we ask for something, we recognizing, God, this is what I need. Give it to me. This is what I need. We're seeking God. And seeking God is also that we're going to hear what he wants us to do and that we are prepared to obey it. Because it doesn't help that God is going to say it to us and we have a look at it and we say, no, that's not for me. Pass. I'll think about it again. Now, if God is giving it to you, be obedient and do what God is telling you to do. And the last one is the knocking. And that is asking and asking God, but knowing that it is sometimes also a little bit of time before God is going to give you an answer. But then it takes time. Then you ask God again. It is also in my prayer time that I sometimes ask God and then he will say to me, not now. Then I can ask, when can I ask again? But if I don't get an answer, then I'll just put it on a back burner, and when it pops up again, then I'll ask again. And that's most of the time when I'm asking something, what God has must give me a 3 or a 5 year plan. And then God says, not now. He's not going to give me that. I don't need it. I only need what he wants me to do now, because that's what I can do. 3 or 5 years, I can't do it now. That's not important. That's now about that we've got to ask, we've got to seek, and we've got to knock. And then he gives an example over there. If a son asks for bread from a father among you, will he give him a stone? And if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? The bread and the fish is, I nearly want to say, common food. We've seen it with the multiplication as well of the food, that was reasonable standard. The egg was luxury. Now the bread and the stone, we can more or less imagine. We can say, okay, a bread and a stone, they more or less look the same like each other. Then he says, if you ask for a fish, that you're going to give him a serpent instead of a fish. That also comes a little bit close to each other. But if you're talking about an egg and a scorpion, that's far away from each other. How does it actually fit? And it was interesting to read a few comments about it. And the one which I found the reasonable logic, I would try to explain it to you, is that you're asking for an egg, which was a luxury thing. Which God is saying, we can ask him luxury things if it is for his kingdom. If you need a helicopter to bring the gospel to the place where they haven't heard the gospel yet, ask God for it. You can ask for it. But don't ask him for a helicopter that you can sleep later in the morning at week on time and work. No, that's not what God wants us. We can ask him exactly what we need and he will give to us what we need. We'll offer him a scorpion instead of an egg. What actually happened over there is that they would take an eggshell, an empty eggshell, and they would put a scorpion in it and you would give it to somebody. And by giving it to somebody, you are actually wishing that that person would die. So it's actually a curse what you're speaking out. So if we understand now what his meaning is so instead of giving an egg, a luxury thing, you're actually wishing, you're actually cursing the other person now. And Jesus is saying, if a son asks for it from any father among you, so there must have been fathers among those disciples over there, will you give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? And then he finishes off, if you then, being evil, now he's got these guys around him, his disciples, he's telling them, being evil. So it's also not a very nice way of actually communicating, but telling exactly where they are. Being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. And these are gifts. And gifts means that it's something which is given to you, you cannot buy it. You don't have to do anything for it. Just now in intercession, it was also, Renee prayed about it, about the gifts. And God wants to give us. He hasn't got a whole list of things what we first have got to do before he's going to give us anything. It's a free gift which is available for each and every one on this earth. Give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? If we go to Matthew, the word Holy Spirit is not there. He's talking about good gifts, good things. But this one makes so much more sense. Your Heavenly Father will give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask for him. What we need in life is the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in our life, to do the things what God wants us to do. That God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, that we can hear what his plans are. Again, that we can do what God wants us to do. The Holy Spirit is more important than bread, more important than fish, and more important than that luxury item, an egg. The Holy Spirit, this is what we need. This is the most precious thing. And Jesus is saying there, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? But we've got to ask for it. We've got to say, Father, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to flow through me. And we can continuously pray, Father, fill me up with your Holy Spirit again. It's like a glass. If I take a sip out of it, I can ask the Father again, fill it up, fill me up, that I can be filled up with the Holy Spirit continuously. And that the Holy Spirit can work through me. I want to conclude. God has made us. All agree. Yes, thank you. You are wonderfully made by God. We are wonderfully made by God. Amen. And God wants to use us. God wants to work through us. Different way. Not all the same. It's different. But we can learn and we can help each other. And God is giving us authority. God is giving us tools that we can use. I'm not elaborating on the gifts of the Spirit over here, but through the Holy Spirit, God is giving us such a lot of things, what we can experience and what we can do. And when we're busy with God's things, like yesterday, what we were going out and we prayed at the seven places, the enemy is not asleep. The enemy is wide awake, and the enemy is trying to stop us and trying to distract us. It was in the more or less the end of 2015 when me and Renee were sitting around the table and we had the map of Utrecht on the table and we said, okay, we're going to cycle around Utrecht because the Lord is telling us we must cycle around Utrecht. And then I got a phone call. My mom has passed away. So she looked at me and she said, okay, what are we going to do now? I said, there's not much going to change because there's nothing what I can do. That's in South Africa. I'm over here. We are going to cycle around Utrecht. So as we went, yes, I got messages and so on. But yes, the enemy is trying to distract us. My mum was old, had heart problems, so that it was at times he had to go. Second time, but we had to go around Utrecht. We were 10, 15 kilometers already on the way. I got a phone call saying that my dad has fallen, broken his hip. They're going to decide if they're going to operate on him or if they're going to just leave it and that he must heal it himself. again, the enemy is trying to distract us. The enemy is trying to pull us away, because I could have said, sorry, guys, you carry on, I'm going home. But there wouldn't be anything what I could have been doing at home. And yesterday, when we were going to pray, yesterday morning, I got a message again. My dad was admitted to hospital. He fell, climbed actually out of bed a little bit more than a week ago, fell, broke 3 ribs, and they put him under some medication, but things were not really going that well. And then they said the best is that they're going to bring him to hospital immediately. Again, the enemy is trying. The enemy is trying to distract us. He's trying to pull us away that we say, oh, wait, I can't get involved because I first have got to focus over here. But we could carry on. My dad at the moment is fine in hospital, and he's 92. So if anything is going to happen, I think 92 is a good age. But yesterday, what has been done yesterday was actually beautiful. And it started a little bit more than, I think, 2 or 3 weeks back. When Renee was praying, then the Lord said to her, I'm giving you 7 places where you've got to build a foundation. We also can call it a stronghold for God's kingdom in Utrecht over here. We're going to show the 7 places just now with the people who went there. And then Renee said, okay, let's bring it to the intercession. And we prayed about it, the ones what you've seen with the announcement on a Tuesday. So we prayed about it, and the Lord was confirming, yes, we've got to go, and we've got to go before the end of July. And Renee preached about it last week, and she had the whole list typed out, things all done, sorted out, and so on and so on. And there was a little bit of doubt with her for these 7 places, and they've got to be sent out 2 by 2, or there are 14 people going to raise their hand and say yes, they want to go along or not. Yes, there were 14 people who came along. There was one, Christelle said she couldn't come along. Less than half an hour later, Simeon phoned and said, I'm coming along. So God each and every time provides. And then we could go, and we could go to the different places. But the most beautiful thing what I found, what happened is that between last week Sunday and Saturday, the people who went along started asking, seeking, knocking. They went to God and said, Lord, what do you want us to do in Utrecht over here? What is on your heart? It's not for sure for Utrecht to do an evangelistic thing and get as much members as possible. No, that's not. We want to be obedient to God. He put a message for us there. He gave us an instruction. We want to do it as good as possible. And yes, the people yesterday came together. Last week, Tuesday, we prayed and God gave us verses and God gave us songs what we had to sing. And yesterday afternoon when they came together, all of them, it was actually, and I'm talking about many years back, you had of those type of toys which you could wind up and then you could put them on the floor and then off they went. Now you can see how old I am. All of them looked like that. All of them had that expression on their face from, we are prayed up. We are ready. We are ready to do for something for God. But we're not alone. We are in a group over there, and you're 2 by 2. And then they went to different places. And this is how I would like to finish today, that we're going to ask of each and every place, if there's a person or persons over here, that we're going to ask from each and every one, that one person is going to come and just quickly testify of one specific thing which the Lord revealed you for that place where you went to.
Peace there. Tremble, Jesus, Jesus.
darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you'll make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive and forever lifted high. Your name cannot be
Father, thank you that we could do yesterday what you told us to do. And Father, we know that the enemy doesn't like it. And the enemy is looking for open doors. But Father, you also have given us authority in the name of Jesus. And I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over each and every person who went along yesterday to pray. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over each and every person who is in this hall at the moment, Father, for protection. That the enemy is not going to find any open door. That the enemy is not going to come to steal, to destroy, or to kill in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray protection not only of those who I've just now mentioned, but also about their loved ones and their loved ones, Father. That the enemy will not find any open door, Father. I pray for each and every word which has been prayed. I pray for each and every action which has been done, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. That those are going to be sealed, that the enemy cannot steal it, the enemy cannot break it, the enemy cannot destroy it, that those are going to be foundations where your kingdom is going to be built upon here in Utrecht, Father. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.